I have to confess to you, when we left the house this evening coming to the church, and got about halfway over here, I realized I'd left my Bible and my notes at the table at the house. So I'm just going to try to go on memory. So you really pray for me, all right? You just know how my memory is. I don't have near what I know I'd have what the Lord had given me for this evening. I'm thinking about the revival, and I'm thinking about our church. And I constantly, I guess, one of the things that I think about constantly is, what do we need to do to have revival? What do we need to do? Really, what is it that would allow the Spirit of God to have the liberty to move upon us in ways that we know that He can? I know there's people here that have been saved a lot longer than me that have probably been in some very powerful services, some very powerful meetings, where the power of God, you couldn't explain it no other way other than you knew the power of God rested upon that place and did mighty things, saved people. The children of God rejoiced like they hadn't rejoiced in a long time. It's what we need. It's that refreshing that you and I need. We need it periodically. We cannot go without it. We need the Spirit of the Lord to refresh us and to revive us. When we look at Nehemiah, we see a great picture of revival. They had been in bondage, in captivity, had gone through the Babylonian captivity, and here they are. He's in a place. He's in the Shushan Palace. This is a Persian court that he's in. And so he has seen power in government shift from one place to the next. They're coming back to their land. They're coming back to what they had taken great advantage of. I think that's the first thing that I need to look at in my life, is the things of God that I have taken for granted and have taken advantage of. I mean, here they were living in the land of Israel. Here they had the temple of God that was built, that was fascinating. And the first structure that God allowed man to make, that the Lord would actually come down and meet with God, meet with men. The tent was like a temporary. I'm talking about that permanent structure there on top of Mount Zion. Amen? There it is. And they took that for granted. They took the house of God for granted. They took their homeland for granted. They took God for granted. That God, would allow them to continue to be lukewarm if they were. I mean, they could come to the temple, they could make their sacrifices, but they could also, to appease their wives whom they had married, that they maybe shouldn't have married, and other strange gods, go to the groves in the high places. God was very displeased. He talks about them as a backslidden people, a backslidden people. And if there's anything that grieves me anymore is to think that I'm in a backslidden condition. I don't want to be in a backslidden condition. I don't want to be asleep on God. I don't want to be. I mean, when you get to that place, it's really hard to even see that you're there. It's hard just to admit. Because I don't want to admit that I have not done the will of the Lord. That my love for Him is not what it was at one time. I don't want to admit that. I don't want to be there. Nehemiah prayed. We have the prayer that Nehemiah had prayed. When thinking about, what it is that we have to do. What condition do we need to get into? Listen, the Lord, He doesn't make this hard for us. At the end of verse number 5, I'll just read all of verse number 5. I want you to pay attention to the end of verse number 5 in Nehemiah 1. And said, I beseech thee. This is Nehemiah praying. Listen to his earnest prayer. I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Two things. God wants somebody to just love Him and observe His commandments. God, listen, the Lord, we are only perfect in Christ. God's not looking for perfect in you and I. I'll tell you what, I mean, you're not going to find perfect in none of us. Not unless you see Christ in us. That part is perfect. Thank God that it is. Amen. But God just said, I'm looking for somebody that will love me and observe my commandments. There's some things that God wants us to do. There's some things God just does not want us to do. I'm not talking about living a life of, keeping His commandments. But the Christian life is a life of keeping His commandments. I'm not doing it to get Him to love me. I'm not doing it to try to be saved. Neither you. We're not doing it to try to add anything to us getting to heaven. We're not doing it to keep ourselves. Are you hearing me? But it does affect our fellowship with Him, and we know that. And it does affect our sanctification. How that you and I view ourselves as far as how we're set aside for the Lord. Is my life set aside for the hand of God? I was thinking the other day, I can't remember who was teaching or where the thought come from, but it was something that I thought about years ago. I was thinking about, serving the Lord and just being sanctified, just set apart for His will. And whatever it was, He'd use me for. And it's a picture of those five smooth stones that David found in the river. They were just there in the river, right where they were supposed to be, churning in the water for all the years that they were there, like they were supposed to be. As the water come down through there and turn them, and you know how they begin to get smoother and smoother and smoother. And see, that's what he was looking for. Five smooth stones that had been through the process. There they were, hadn't been used for nothing else, just being a rock that God had created and put in the creek. Amen. And if that's all God wants me to do, is just to be in my part of the creek, amen, and let the waters of life churn over me and take the rough edges off my life, then I want to do that. I want to just be set apart, sanctified for God's use, for God's purpose, amen. And he picked those up. And one of them was used to kill Goliath. There it was. Now you think if it hadn't have been there, they could have never been used. Could have never been used. Those other four, it doesn't say it, but Goliath, he had four other brothers or nephews, however you want to look at it. And no doubt David was thinking about them when he grabbed five smooth stones, one for each of them. But what I'm saying is he picked them up. They were there and they were ready. They were there and they were smooth and they were awaiting the hand of someone to come and pick them up and put them in their pouch to be used. That's what it is, listen, that we're waiting for that God to use us in some simple way. That's why he sets us apart. Listen, we're all going to be used. Used as a light. Used as salt. Amen? All of us will be. Used as a witness that the power of Christ may rest upon us. And how to do that is just really know in your heart that you really do love him. I love him. I love him, and I want to please him. I want to please him. I want to obey him. If there's something in his word he bids me do, I want to do that. I don't want to be knocking at God's door on the Sabbath and over at the other grove through the week. I don't want to live that life. I don't want to live that life. Listen, it would have kept them from the whole thing. There would have never been a Babylonian conqueror come and seize the city. Are you listening to me? And the people, and take them in as slaves. And all of that could have been prevented. All of it. And no doubt there were some. I mean, just like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When it first, started happening. I mean, they loved God. And they were observing his ways. But because a big majority of others, they got swept in with everybody else. Think about that, how their lives were affected because of others. Because of others. I don't know how could you have imagined Daniel to have been able to stand and prophesy in the land of Israel? To be the prophet that, one of the most powerful prophets of God that ever has been. And he did it in Babylon. That's amazing. That's amazing to me. I was reading some in Jeremiah today again. And you read in Jeremiah and it's one judgment after another that God is prophesying of that's coming. It was going to come. And Josiah was there at the first of Jeremiah as the king. And then later his son Zedekiah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Babylonians, they came just like God said they would. But one woeful, mournful prophecy after another of what was going to happen, what was going to happen to the land, who it was that was going to afflict them. Oh my, all of it could have been had they turned to the Lord. Just turned. When you read here in Nehemiah and you see the burden that he has and the prayer that he prays, and then look at how he's praying. Just look at how he's praying. I think it would help us to know how to pray. I mean, if you really want a touch of revival, if you really want the hand of God to move upon your life, and I believe this for years. Listen, you can have personal revival in your life if nobody else around you does. In verse number 3, he said, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Can you imagine seeing that? I mean, those that had fought to the end, those that maybe were committed, I mean, that had been committed, and here they were. They're in great affliction. They're suffering. And they see the wall of Jerusalem broken down, and they see the gates on fire. What a heaviness to see that God had given them, the glory of that place being turned to ash by an enemy. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. There's been times that I have prayed and was able to weep before the Lord. There's been times I've prayed and tried to weep and couldn't. But I want to pray to the Lord over this. When I do, I want to be able to weep before Him. I want to be able to show the sincerity of my soul. And God sees it before I could ever even get it out. God knows the sincerity of our soul. But Nehemiah, he said, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed. If revival is going to come into my heart, my spirit and my soul need to be affected some way. It needs to be affected some way. That is what causes one to mourn and weep and even begin to fast if you're able and pray. When our spirit and our soul is heavy, heavy, when we are in this kind of grief, it is what turned the hand of God from Nineveh. They sat down and wept and mourned and put sackcloth and ash upon them. Their spirits were affected. Their souls were broken. The Bible talks about being of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. A penitent soul. The Lord, listen, wants us to, if there's sin to pray, there is sin to pray over and to confess. Like Nehemiah, he confessed the sin of the whole land. And he said, we have sinned. I'm a part of this nation. I'm a part of what's happening here. And said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant. You need to remember something about the Lord. He keeps covenant. And mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Listen, I've said it many times. God, he's not going to just dance these things out before us. You know, reach up, grab it. You're so close. You're so close. God don't do that to us. He keeps covenant and mercy for them that love him and that observe his ways. God is readily, his hand is ready. His ear is ready for us. He's praying in verse number 6, let thine ear now be attentive. God's ear already was attentive. Thine eyes open. God's eye already was open. That thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. Oh, goodness. He's praying. He gets an answer to prayer. In chapter number 2, in verse number 4, look at verse 3. And said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste? And the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. His heart to get back to Judah, to get back to the land of Israel. He knew he was away. How could he not know he was away? You know, I think one of the great hindrances to revival is pretending that we're not away. There's nothing that I need to pray over. There's nothing that I need to come to God with. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing that's tore down that needs built. Nothing's on fire. Nothing. How could we say that with the knowledge that we have of days gone by, of the work of God? It's been said for years, and before I was even born, it had been said by many saints of God, men of God, that if there's a shortness on either end of the stick, it ain't on God's end. Amen? Amen. It never is. It never is. God's hand is not short that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. So many things. Listen, yes, it needs to be. There was the valley gate, the gate of the fountain, the sheep gate, the fish gate, the old gate, the dung gate, the water gate, the horse gate, the east gate, the gate of Mifkad, the gate of Ephraim, and the prison gate. There was a lot needed to be rebuilt. And each with a purpose. There were a lot of purposes that had been seized. Think about that. We see the city. We see, you know, we see the purpose of the city. We see the city. There are so many things that make up. Just like this church, there are so many people that make up this church, that make up the working. Gates, walls, watchers. Every part needing to be put back. I can see, sometimes I get this picture, I can see one watcher standing above his gate, looking over to where the next gate used to be. No gate, no watcher. How would that make me feel? It would make me feel weak. What good is the strength of my gate if there's a big hole over here? I need to go help my brother build his gate. Get a watchman on the wall. It's the same with this side. We need the waterway going again. Think about a city with no water. I'll tell you what, it's a fascinating thing. When you look at that land on a map, it just looks like, I mean, they don't have what you'd say big lakes and all this stuff. I mean, they got the Sea of Galilee up north. They've got the Jordan River running down into the Dead Sea. But did you know that underground, the clearest, cleanest, coolest, best water, amen, coming underneath, running through them rock, and never runs out. And they are drinking from this fountain that God put there. The whole country's drinking from it. Think about that. My goodness. We need to bear the burden. The burden to begin. There's a burden to begin. Somebody, Nehemiah had a burden to begin. I mean, some people may throw up their hands and say, let's not even go back. You know, let's just go. Egypt, they've already got cities built down there and they've already got their water running and we can go down in there and we can just throw in with everybody else and nobody will ever know the difference. He didn't want to do that. He knew what could be. What could be. What could be. What could be. Listen, I thank God. I can't tell you enough how much I thank God for this church. Amen. I have always, ever since when God first saved me and called me to preach and I first come in contact knowing that there was ever even such a thing as Mission Hill Baptist Church, thanked the Lord for this place. It was one of the places you felt like you could go and find the truth and worship the Lord. And godly people. You thank God for something like that. What can be? What can be? Don't get me wrong in what I'm saying. Again, I thank God for even what it is now. I know, and you know too. I mean, and I don't ever want to just, you know, throw the way things are off on the last days. You know, that's my cop out. It's the last days. Listen, God's still the same. Amen. God can still save. We've seen some people saved here. Amen. We've not seen hundreds, but we've seen some people saved. Just in the short time, I've said it before, and it ain't me, because I can't do it. It's you. It's the church. The church has to be the one working in the field. You've brought enough people to come through this church that if they'd all still be here, we wouldn't have room for them. Where are they at? Somebody, and you may be the very one, and you may know who. Maybe that's your piece of the wall you need to go build. Maybe that's your piece of the gate that you need to build up. Listen, I could go to every one of these people that should be here and that are not and can't get them back, but you might could get them back. You might could get that one. You might could help that one to pick up their hammer and come back and stand on the wall. That's what it takes. Amen. It's a burden to begin. A burden to begin. That it's got to be done. We must do it. I don't have any more time to waste. That soul needs me to go to them and pray for them and encourage them and help them get back in the house of God. They've thrown their hands up and they've quit in Babylon. You can help them out. You can say, let's go back to the wall. Let's go back to where God is. Listen, you'll never convince me in all that Babylon had that it's better than where God was. No way. No way is it better than where God was. They had the hanging gardens there in Babylon. Amen. They had all so much gold. Everything was gold. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar, he was prophesied as the head of gold in that metallic man. Gold everywhere, gold. Listen, Solomon, they talked about what Solomon had. All that he had, had never been a king had what Solomon had. It was staggering. Did you know Babylon, when they come in, they got every bit of that? That's what they did. Every place they went, they flattened it and took everything they had and went back to Babylon. And that city of Babel, it just kept getting bigger, bigger, and bigger, and more luxurious. More luxurious. Didn't God even tell Nebuchadnezzar, Brother Mike, was it him? He said something to the fact of what kind of king Nebuchadnezzar was. That it wasn't hard. I mean, you don't run across kings like him just every day. And that's the way Solomon was. There had never been a king like Solomon. Had never been one that wise. Never had been one that wise. I'm trying to think where I'm at. There was an enemy waiting. Waiting. His name was Sanballat. Or Sanballat. I don't know how exactly that you pronounce it. I've always pronounced it Sanballat. But he's an enemy. He's an enemy of the Jew. He's an enemy of Israel. He's an enemy of God's people. He's a picture of the devil. And he was there right from the beginning. To discourage. Nehemiah had to be. The only thing. You break it down. You look at it. It had to be. Because he loved God. And observed God's commandments. That'll keep you going for the Lord when all the devils of hell is trying to come against you. There's something in you that you love God more. You love God too much. You love God's word too much. You know what can be, and you want to see it. And it doesn't come fast. It doesn't come fast. It's like losing weight. We want it now, but it takes work. It takes consistency. Keep going. Not stopping. Keep going. Whatever setback you have, push it aside and keep going. Amen? The enemy, listen, we can't just give up because there's an enemy. We're going to always have an enemy. We need to learn how to work with an enemy standing over our shoulder. The Hebrews did it several times. They did it in Egypt. They did it again in Babylon. Here, Nehemiah, he's having to do it. All the people that are trying to build the wall of Jerusalem again, they're having to do it. God's people always has had to do the work with an enemy looking them in the eye and mocking them. We're not going to do it without controversy. We're not going to have revival without to see this church, to see people get saved and to see the power. I mean, listen, the devil don't like that, people. The devil don't like that. Love God. Observe His commandments. Because see, if you do that, then that helps you in every temptation. Most of the ones we face in the church, the devil tries to get us thinking, this one over here, he don't like me as good as he used to. They want you to leave. This one, they didn't shake your hand, or this one may have even, smarted off. Lord, have mercy. But if I know His words, I know what I'm supposed to do about stuff like that. Not act like a baby. Be strong. Love them. Forgive them, whether they see it or not. Help them. Amen. You see, if you love Him and observe His ways, then whatever comes your way, whichever Sanballat throws at you, you know what to do about it so that you can keep going forward, that you can keep building the wall. That you can say, I'm not going to go back to Babylon again. I didn't come here to quit. I didn't start this to finish undone. God, help us to finish something. Amen. God, help us to get it in our heart and our mind that we will not stop just because there's a temptation, just because there's an enemy. We will begin with our burden. We will pray. We will love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we will observe His ways. We'll do that. Listen, God will help us. God, that's all God wants us to do. The Lord will help us to build our city. Amen. It's not rocket science. You know that. It's not that God's give us some kind of big, calculus problem that we have to try to figure out. And we're not going to ever know how to build a church or be spiritual until we figure out this problem here. That's not what the Lord has in front of us. Amen. I want you to pray. Listen, I really want you to pray. Lord, help me to love you more. Lord, I love you, and I want to love you more. I want to observe your ways. Lord, if there's something that I can do, help me to know where to put my hand to the plow. Help me to know. Help me to have a burden to begin building. Help me to go to that one that used to be here. I believe I can get them back in God's house. I believe I can get them back on their place on the wall. Amen. I know this may have seemed a little scattered to you this evening. It was a little scattered to me. But thank you for listening. Thank you for your attention.